Boker Tov world. Today's daf from Masechet Kedushin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ira Kedesh, is daf Yud Dalet. We're holding on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and we're at the last lines of the daf, and we are at the last words of the Mishnah. We finished everything we needed to know in our Mishnah about Kinyanei Isha as a normal wife. Now we move on to the last part of the Mishnah, was discussing Yibum. And there it says that Yevama is nicknamed, but only Bevia. So how do we know this, that Yevama is nicknamed Bevia? I mean, that's Beferish in the Pasuk. Omar kra Yevama yavo aleha ulekachalo liisha. So you see from here that the way in which he takes her as a wife is to be kind of her through yavo aleha. So that's quite clear. The problem is that since the Pasuk has now compared the Yevama Le'isha, so why don't we say Le'kula Milta Ki'isha? That in the same way that we're comparing the Kinyan of the Yevama to the Kinyan of an Isha Le'gabe Bia, let's compare it Le'gabe Shtar Ve'kesef as well. No? No. Lo Sagad either. Absolutely not. The Tanya, Yocho Ye'kesef Shtar Gomrim Ra'kederech Shabi Ha'gomeret Ba'. You might indeed have thought that kesev and shtar would work, as you said, the same way that we saw that this would work, right? I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? Because it says kisha. So, therefore, it comes on the pasuk to say beferish that no, it will not work, because it adds in, at the end of the pasuk, an extra word for no reason whatsoever. Yevamo yavo aleha ulekachalo liisha. Isn't that enough? You throw in that last word, v'yibma, well, obviously, v'yibma. Ah, so that's the point, that we're stressing over here the element of the yibum that we just mentioned, which was v'bia b'davka. And that tells me, this is the way, v'yibma, it's only b'yago meredba. Kesev v'shtar is not considered to be a modality of the kinyan of a Yevama. Now, obviously, this has nothing to do with the Takana Drabbanan. We know Midrabbanan, the Rabbanan, we're Takin Kedushim for Yevama as a Drabbanan Kedushim. But we're talking about over here an actual full Kinyan of the Yevama as an Isha, and the Kinyan of the Maimer Drabbanan, that is only a Kinyan in terms of preventing any of the other brothers from being Miyabe. Okay. Question is that, as you recall, we use that pasuk back in Yevamos to say that mivi yibma means that he's able to be miyabim bal korcha. Now, the reason that we could say that is because remember that whenever we have the word that is the verb connected to its actual object as one word, instead of with a preposition, what that means is that you have a much deeper connection of the act to the object. And because of that, if it would have said, v'yabim et yavim tov, fine, that would have just meant whatever, with the agreement. But now that it says v'yibma, this means that it's almost an adjunct to the verb, the woman, the hey. And therefore, it's the yabim ba'al korcha teaches us. Im kain, if that was the din, the Torah could have said, you only wanted to tell me that it's bia and only bia. So then repeat the word v'yabem. Why does he have to say it v'yibma? The fact that it says v'yibma, that still changes the mashmaut to tell me my v'yibma, that it's even ba'al korcha. Therefore, shbamina tarate, just from that one word, understanding the beautiful additional references to the v'yibma. I'm telling you, every time you see a drasha, you just get, it's just amazing. The sensitivity to the words, to the letters, these absurd college courses that claim to know something about literary analysis. It's just like so childish. Unbelievable. Okay, so now the next thing that we had in the Mishnah was that she's kona et atzma b'chalitza and b'mitata yava. Okay, so how do we know that a chalitza acts as being kine herself? I mean, the fact that the Torah said that you have to do chalitza is all very sweet, but I mean, where does it say that the chalitza having been performed is now sufficient to be matir her? I didn't see where it said that. So you're making an assumption, no? No, because it says, v'nikrash mo b'Yisrael beit chalutza nal. What is that supposed to mean? You did the chalitza. So what is this stuff about? And call out her name in Yisrael. This is the bayit of someone whose shoe was taken off? Like, what is that supposed to mean? You put like a little plaque on the door to remember the chalitza? Obviously, the point is that you're saying we need to be mefarsim, that this is now a bayit that is available throughout Yisrael. So nobody should think that she's asura. So we're calling out this isha as muteret to the world. What else would it be saying? So kivan shechalatzba now, so now she is the Beit Chalutzanah Yisrael, which means everybody should know that they are able to marry this woman from this point on to anybody who wants. But I thought that we needed that pasuk to tell me, Yisrael bar Yehuda, what does be Yisrael mean? It comes to tell me a Beis Din shall Yisrael, v'lo b'Beit Din shall Ovdei Kochavim. It cannot be in a Beis Din that is made of Ovdei Kochavim. The correct girsa is probably of Geirim. And the point over here is a very special halacha, that since what we're talking about here is specifically the unique interperson responsibility of Nafshos Yisrael going all the way back to the development of the genetics of Yisrael, in this particular case, since it is such a genetic issue, the Beis Din cannot be comprised of those whose genes don't go all the way back to Yisrael to be part of the Beit Hanal, you see? Because the inyan of Yibum is that it goes all the way back, Al Sha'ar Mikomo, and so on. So that is a special halacha that we need over here, Beis Din Shel Yisrael, completely. So I thought we need that. We do need that. But remember that it says Yisrael twice. The first one was the pasuk. This we're talking about over here, that it says that me'en yami. What does it say about, sorry, when she comes up to tell the Beis Din? So it says, he refuses to be making shame la'achiv b'Yisrael. That's the Yisrael that we're talking about. But afterwards, we find the what we just quoted, that Midikra Shmo B'Yisrael Beit Chalutza. Now, that's a completely different issue. That has to do with the Bayit, which always refers to marriage. And there it's saying that Yisrael has to know that she is available. But that also, even the Beit Chalutza now comes to tell me a special halacha, not this one, because Omer Yehuda, we were sitting, we were learning with Reb Tarfon in his Beis Din, and a Yavama comes in that he should see to it that she should be chalutz. So she walks in, and as we did the chalitza, he said to us, everybody that was standing there, that now all of you have to say the word chalutza now, which means that there is a meaning in the pasuk of literally v'nikra shmo b'Yisrael. I want you all to proclaim. So that's v'nikra. So then that means it's literal. It's not like coming to tell me this halacha that it means a heter of Bata Yisrael. It means an announcement, a literal, as if you need to pronounce this idea. So how do you know that it means to tell me a heter? No. That I know from the fact that it says v'nikra shmo. But, I mean, the point is that chalitzas muteres, that comes of the bias, beit chalutzanal. Remember, it didn't say anything about that when Reb Tarfon said, say the words chalutzanal. That doesn't address the beit chalutzanal. It's two different issues. The beit chalutzanal is indeed a relationship to the heter. The fact of v'nikra, chalutzanal, that's a different issue, that you need an actual announcement. Okay. And then the Mishnah takes for granted that the Yavama will be muteret through the death of the Yavam. So now the question is, how exactly do we know that she would be muteret? You know, well, I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? I mean, an Ashes Ish, which is an iser chenek, and that's heavy duty. And nonetheless, if her husband dies, it takes off even the chomor ish, eshes ish, right? And the mitata baal matirata, as we learned yesterday. So a yevama is only an iser lav. It says over there, lo tieh esh etameh tachutza leishzar, and okay, that's nowhere near as chomor as an eshes ish. So isn't it a kosher cane that the misas ayovam should be matir? Not necessarily, says the Gemara. Remember that our initial take on the idea of misas abal being matir is because there was a special concept of the eshes ish. Remember, the eshes ish also is yotze beget, but we proved that by yevama you cannot use a get because of the fact that which it says the Sefer Kritut, the Sefer Korta, and therefore we also have Biyada. So that's not true, therefore, by a Yevama. So now maybe that's also means that it's more difficult, actually, to get rid of a Yevama, to take off the Yisurim of Yevama. And since Chalitza is unique, well, I mean, it's not that it's unique. The Eshazish is Muteris with a get, and the Yavama is Yotze b'chalitza, which chalitza takes the place of the get. So it's still a good kavach omer. Okay, but there's a big difference. Because when it comes to the Eshazish, remember, how did we look at it? We said, well, isn't it obvious that if the husband is the one who brought about the Isser, so then the canceling of the husband is the canceling of the Isser, right? Mashenkin over here, what creates the Isser on the Yavama? The original marriage. The brother didn't do anything. So therefore, in the death of the brother of the Yavam, why would we necessarily think that that would cancel out the Zika to the Yibum that was created by the original marriage of the first brother, right? So Ma'ale Shetishiken Osra Matira, the one who created the Isser is the one that is now in his death who's Matir her. Mashenkin over here, the death of the Yavam, we should say, who cares about him? He wasn't the one that asked her. Omravashi, that's not true. He is the one that asked her. I understand that the initial Zika was, you're right, that was done by the original brother. But let me ask you something. If that Yavam hadn't been there at the time of the death of his brother, so what would have been the din? She would have been Muteris to the world. So what is currently creating an Isser on her for marrying anybody else? His existence, X's existence, and you cancel the Isser. So it's exactly the same. I don't see why you think it's essentially different. Yavam Osra and Yavam Sharila. We can look at it that it's exactly the same thing. So we could still use this Kal Vachomer from an Eshes Ish, and therefore we now know that the death of the Yavam is Matir. Ah, so then we should consider another alternative, that maybe an Eshes Ish should actually turn this whole thing around. And we should say an Eshes Ish should be able to get out of a marriage with a chalitza and not with a get. Now, we know the answer to this already because we've examined it before several times. And remember, this has been our favorite activity in this analysis of the first Mishnah and its kinyanim, would be the further analysis of the interrelationships of the various kinyanim of an Isha that are learned out from each other, which included the Ama Ivriya and included the concept of Yiyud and the nature of the relationship of Yitzias HaEved with a Get Shichur to the way that an Isha is Mishtachreret with a Get and the concept of Yibum and the concept of Chalitza. And we had all of these in so many ways interrelating with each other. So then to further establish just this last piece, that we make sure that now that we understand the Yavama, let's see why that doesn't change the way that we took the dinim of the kinyan of the Isha by the Baal first, and then by the Isha, meaning the Yavama of herself from the Yavam. So we can now make a Kal Vachomer that an Eshes Ish would be fine with Chalitza, and that would be Matir her marriage, because of a Yavama that cannot be Yotze beget is nonetheless Yotze and Chalitza. So obviously Chalitza is a very powerful cancellation of Yisurim. So if that's the case, The Eishes Ish, not so difficult to get rid of an Eishes Ish because you can use a get. So then, if that's the case, she should certainly be able to be Yotze B'chalitza. And as we know, the answer to that is Omar Kra, Sefer Kritut, Sefer Korta, Ve'in Davar Acher Korta. The interrelationship of the word Sefer with the Kritut, but the Kritut isn't referring to the Sefer. I mean, it should be referring specifically to the dinim that it teaches us, that a divorce has to be a full divorce and so on. But since it puts it together with the Sefer, that's coming to tell me what is the medium of that separation that is only a Sefer and nothing else. Oh, okay, so then let's go back and learn out the Yavama, that a Yavama should be able to be out to beget. So Tehe Yavama Yotze Beget Bikav HaChomer. If an Eishet Ish that we just saw is not able to be Yotze B'Chalitza, is able to be Yotze Beget, so then for sure a Yavama who can be Yotze B'Chalitza should certainly be able to be Yotze Beget, because a Get is apparently a more powerful Motzi than Chalitza is. Omar Kro, that's why Pasuk said, Kacha. What's this aspect of Kacha? That Kacha, this is what we do to the guy, Ashelo Yivna Beit Achiv. What is Kacha? Kacha is only this, the way that we just described, which is taking off his shoe. And every time that the Torah says Kacha, it means kacha. It's ikuva. Only this way. Kacha. Otherwise, we have to stress that word. So kacha means there's no alternative to this process. Therefore, the kal vachomer doesn't work because the Torah said beferish. And now, wait a minute. You're claiming that whenever we have the language that stresses that the particular way that something is supposed to be done, what's that called? Ikuva, right? Where the Torah creates a clear statement of this is the way it has to be. That means that you cannot use a kal vachomer? That's not true. I'll prove it to you. Kalecha, deyike ikuva, wherever the Torah puts in a word that means ikuva. What, you're not allowed to say kal vachomer? Somehow or other that X is a kal vachomer. Why? A kal vachomer is part of the din of the Torah, which should be included in the kacha. Because all of the logical extensions of the Midas should apply, even though this is the way. And I'll prove to you that it is. Because take a look at Yom Kippur. Wherever the Torah says, Chuka, Vaita lachem lechukat olam, it says by Yom Kippur. And we know that the stress where the Torah uses the word chok, this is the way it's got to be. I'm telling you it's the way I want it. It's a gezerah. Okay, so because of that, where it said, "Venatan Aaron al shnei asirim goralot goral achad l'Hashem," all of these then are chuka, and therefore it's clear that the only way to get that sa'ir mishtaleach is by going through the goralot process. You're going to have to make a goral, and afal pi kein, look at this brayta, v'tanya va'asohu chatat. So what's the stress on v'asahu? This is, again, ikriv aron et asair, asher Allah alav agoral v'asahu chatat. What is v'asahu chatat? What is the it? The it is the goral. So in other words, we're repeating the fact, only the goral is ose chatat, not claiming that if I say at the time that I make it kodesh, this should be the chatas. That's not going to help. Because you would have thought it's a kal vachomer. Uh-oh, we're making kal vachomer even though it's a schuka? Yep. You would have thought that it's a kal vachomer. What's a kal vachomer? Uma b'makom shelo kidesh hagoral kidesh Hashem. So let's say that a woman buys these two kinim, right? And now you want to decide which one is the oila and which one is the chatas. So you say, let's make a toss-up, you know, here's a coin, we'll decide. No, you can't do that. And if you do it, it's not going to be koveya, which one is the chatas and which one is the oila. It's a joke. But if you define it when you buy the kinim, so then you're defining them. This is the chatas and this is the oila, and that's perfectly okay. So if that would mean Kiddush Hashem, the only way to do it is actually for the name to be announced as you actually buy it. I mean, there's one other way, which is that the Kohen, B'Shah said he does it, B'Shah says he has a Kohen, you can, that's Koveya. But there's no Kvias ahead of time with a Goral, only by the announcement. So Makom Shekidesha Goral, over here we've got this wild new idea that you can make something defined as a Korban by having the La Hashem come up on a Goral on it. So obviously, if you announce the Chatchila, then you're buying it, that this should be the Chatas L'Hashem. For sure it should be good, right? Eino din shiyakadesh Hashem, Talmud lomar v'yaso Chatas. That's right. No, only the Goral makes the Chatas. Now, a Goral otze Chatas v'en Hashem otze Chatas. Now, apparently, if we wouldn't have had that special pasuk, then I would have said a Kal v'chomer, correct? So time admiyate krotz, only because we have this special pasuk that this and only this is otze Chatas. But without that special pasuk, I would have said that the Kal v'chomer from other korbanos is a valid Kal v'chomer, even though it does say chukat olam here, and these are supposed to be dinim that are li'ikuva, v'italacham l'chukat olam. So apparently chukat olam, which is li'ikuva, includes, and of course, any derivations, such as a Kal v'chomer. So why are you telling me that over here, kacha implies that you can't make a Kal v'chomer? You didn't answer my question. I still want to make a Kal v'chomer. And we're saying, Darshina Kal v'chomer, afagav dechtibe chuka. You're right. Okay. So we have to find another proof that a get is not matir yavama. Where do we know that from? V'katav la sefer kritut. La, the lowly yavama. Works for a married woman. Does not work for yavama. Wait a minute. I thought that law was like the whole idea of lishma. How all of a sudden does it mean her and only her, not Yavama? So ve'ema lo lishma. I mean, that's how we learned it all through Gittin. Yeah. But apparently you weren't listening very closely to yesterday's laning, were you? Because it says la twice. Treloksiv. Because afterwards, what does it say? Usnei'a ha'isha acharon v'katav la sefer kritut again. What do you think? We're playing games over here. So from the first law, we did not learn out the din of Lishma, but then we have this extra law. What's that for? That's to tell me that the only option is for an Eishes Ish to be Matir. But if not, you cannot use it for any other Yitziah. Therefore, it will not work for Yavama. Trei lo ksive, and we know both. But wait, I need both law. Because remember, we also learned out, yes, the first law, that's the big law. That's the law, lishma. Okay, but the other one, remember we had a question. Can you be megarish two women with one get? So let's say a guy has two wives with the same name. You could see why he's megarish them. But anyway, so he writes one get for both of these women. Or he has two wives with different names, and he writes to both the get to both of them. I hereby am being Megarish, A and B. That's not good, because it says law. Law of Lola Chaverta. So you can only give a get to one person at a time. And therefore, we can't use the law to tell me three things. We don't have three laws, do we? Okay, I give up. I got another marker, okay? It says na'al, which means that you can only use a na'al, because we're talking about beit chalutz ha-na'al. And, I mean, we had a different pasuk that said to take off a shoe. So that's telling me that it was only the na'al that was able to achieve this state of heter. And that's why we're making it such a big deal. Beit chalutz ha-na'al, that is how we know that she's muteret. I mean, obviously, if you could just write her a get, this whole ceremony would be extremely rare. Why we call her Beit Chalutz Hanal? I mean, she's like muteret the same way any woman is muteret. That comes to tell me, midi achrine lo. The only way to do it is with a nal. But wait, I thought that we needed that for something else. I thought we need to tell me the halacha in the Braita that it says in the pasuk na'alo. Ein li ela na'alo. So maybe that means dafka. It says, chaltza na'alo me'al raglo. And then, v'yorkar b'fanav, and the whole deal, right? So you might have thought, since it says his shoe, it means his own shoe. How about if somebody lends him a shoe? Or Bezdin's got a shoe. I mean, is that also good? How do we know that it doesn't have to belong to him? It could be a Nal Shel Kol Adam Minale. Talmud Lomar, that's why we have the second Nal, to tell me Na'al, Na'al Riba, Bet Chalutza Na'al. So then, if that's the case, why did we mention Na'alo? Im Kein Ma Talmud Lomar Na'alo, his shoe, the shoe's got to fit. And if the shoe's got to fit, it's Prat Gadol Shein Yochol Ha'alech Bo. That excludes a shoe that you cannot walk in. Those tackies are no good, Mifro. Prat L'Katan She'eino Chofet Rov Raglo. And it also would exclude a shoe that is so small that it doesn't cover most of your foot. So that is Na'alo. It's got to also be a na'al that is prat l'misulayim she'in lo akev. So, I mean, that means if it's missing, okay, there's a question what exactly en lo akev means. I mean, Rashi understands misulayim, it's apparently that it doesn't have a sole, but what is a sole of a heel? It's not very clear. The Tosis talks about this in Yevamos, and he tainas that it can't mean a sole. It brings away, it can't mean the overall sole. Okay, anyway, imkain, but in any event, we're using this na'al to tell me all of these issues, that it's got to be an appropriate shoe. So how now are we able to learn the halacha that only a shoe is what is matri yavama? Because imkain, nichtov kro na'al. What is the meaning of ha-na'al? So the ha-na'al, that is coming to tell me that it's only shmamina tarte, both in Yonim. It's got to be an appropriate shoe, and it's got to be the house of only the shoe. And that means there's no other way to shoe out the Yavama except by a real shoe. Which brings us to a poor Richie who's been reviewing the entire parak all night long. You can see how tired he is. Oh, gosh. Oh, he's saying, I got to get to sleep. But he's staying up just to introduce this wonderful next Mishnah with the words. Very good. It's amazing how Zoom knows to put Doc right next to him. Like it's got this hypodermic aimed right at Richie's tummy. I mean, you can imagine. No wonder he did such a good job. Come on, guys. Come on. You don't admit that Zoom is sentient, right? This is all my imagination. Okay, fine. I don't know what it will take. All righty. So now we move on. As we spoke about at the beginning of the Masechet, the concept of kinyanim is that which creates ba'alut. The concept of ba'alut is a unique concept in the Torah, very different from the idea of having something in your possession, where it's the possession that is all that counts. There's no idea of the actual presence of the owner being somehow innate in that which is owned, right? There's no such concept. Masha Enkein, it's the very use of the word ba'alut that tells us how different it is when we're talking about ownership. There's an intimacy to ownership, incredibly. It's not possession alone. Possession is a proof of ownership if it's something that wouldn't otherwise have gotten into your rishus. But the idea of ownership is intimate. And because of that, it shares its intimacy with intercourse. And therefore, there is no way to talk only about kinyane isha here and to pretend that that has nothing to do with kinyanim in general. The interrelationship of kinyanim of karka and kinyanim of isha. Whoa, that was fundamental. That goes all the way back to the kinyan of Eretz Yisrael by Avram Avinu. That's incredibly primal and basic to us. The actual kicha kicha miste Ephron. Powerful. But even all kinyanim in the Torah become part of this perek, because we're talking about kinyanim in general if we're talking about a perek of ba'alut. And therefore, the Mishnah moves on to talk about, obviously, the most intimate the kinyan that we've been talking about that is very similar to the kinyan of Isha, and then we actually learn out many of the dinim. Well, it takes two human beings to be really intimate. I mean, you're not intimate with karka, you're not intimate with being kina ashar and so on, but there's an intimacy in terms of human relationships, which makes more sense that we would use the word balut. So the first thing that is similar and that has actually been compared in the Torah Gufa, remember with the lola meisha and oma ivriya. So this idea, we move on to the second Mishnah. How exactly would you be kina the Eved, and how would the Eved be kina himself? Now that, of course, when we say Eved, we're really talking about five different situations. And it seems on the surface we got one kind of thing, which is the kinyan of an Eved. But that's not true. There are many different types of Avod. Because, first of all, we've got an Eved that Bezdin sells. That's a whole parsha in the Torah, in Mishpatim, and it says, Ki yimacher lecha. Now, ki yimacher lecha means somebody sold this person to you. There's only two ways that that could happen. There could be a father who has a chus to sell a ketana, and there could be a bezdin, which has a chus to sell someone who has burglarized and is unable to pay back what it is that he stole, and now the bezdin sells him to get the money back. So that's one particular case of ki yimacher lecha achicha ivriyo ivriya, right? Then we've got these other cases, v'chi yamuch achicha v'nimkar lecha, and we've got also a halacha of unbelievable, chitasig ger v'yad ger v'toshav v'imach v'moch achicha v'nimkar leger v'toshav, which means that you can even have a non-Jew, it's not talking about a ger, it's talking about a ger toshav, who buys a Jew. And it has to be treated with the full dinim of possession. So that's yet a third category, where someone sells himself to another Yisrael, someone who sells himself to a goy. Then we've got yet a fourth category, and that is the case of the ritzi'ah. So the ritzi'ah is the case where the guy said, "Ahavti es Adoni," and so on and so forth. I don't want lo etzei chafshi. So we've got this idea of taking all, put it through his ear, weird kind of thing. Ozen sheshama al har Sinai kili b'nei Yisrael avadim, and he goes and he buys himself an other nonsense. Okay, but whatever it is, he's avado la'olam, that's a different din, which means you work all the way till yovel, whereas normally in the sale we talk about sheish shanim. And then we've got a fifth situation. A fifth situation is specifically when it was a sale by an av, of a ketana, and there we have a unique yitziah, because over there the Torah says that she could be yaitza b'simanim. And we have these new concepts of yud, which give us this deep relationship between the Oma Ivriya and the Kabbalah's Kedushin of a father for his daughter. So, wow, the two situations are seen as very, very connected. I mean, if ever there was a notion of the creeping meaning of balut in its sexual sense and in its non-possessive changes, the kitchens of Oma Ivriya, where he ostensibly bought this girl to do housework, and now that housework suddenly becomes wife. And that is without the father's agreement to that. Once already the kinyan was made for the Oma Ivriya, that balut contained already initially sufficient intimacy to transform that same kinyan into what becomes now a kinyan of Ishas with the same money. That's unbelievable. So obviously, the slow development of the perek from direct ishus into yibum, into avdus, whoa, okay, that all is very, very smooth. So we understand how we're going to get ultimately into karka and so on and so on. We already raised the issue yesterday of whether you can make a kinyan of karka b'pachas mishava pruta and how that's related to lala miisha, which, by the way, Tesis says over there that it sounds a little bit backwards because, I mean, it's Isha that's learned from Karka, from Kiyikak, so it's a funny way to say things, that just the same way that a woman requires a Shavapruta, you know. So Karka requires a Shavapruta, which was one of the quotes by Rabbi Yaakov of Ravasi yesterday. And Tosis brings other places where just because of the way that we've been phrasing things, Gemara doesn't hesitate to put things in that direction. So that's not so bad. By the way, I do want to tell you that I misrepresented a halacha, which is nogea this, and I don't want anybody to think, to take me seriously. I realized that I was being taken seriously by questions that were posed. This business of asking a witness, okay, is it worth a Shavapruta? You say that aloud, which I made fun of as being a rabbinic one-upmanship. Actually, it's not really rabbinic one-upmanship. There's an inyan to announce that something is a Shavapruta so that we always recognize that we require Shavapruta for Kinyanim. So that's actually halacha, and it wasn't nice of me to say it that way, so I apologize. Right? I mean, the Ramah brings that that's the minig and so on. All right. So anyway, but that's the Shavapruta. And so now moving on to our Mishnah, as introduced by our very own Kapitan, Eved Ivri Nikna Bekesev Ubishtar. Okay, there's two ways to become an Eved Ivri. Money or shtar. But he's kone himself with a new thing that we never heard before, and that's called shanim. So once he's got the 6 years, it says, vavatcha sheish shanim, 6 years are up, so is the avdus. So it's as if he is kone back full rights to himself, to his work, and so on. Remember, it's not a kinyan aguf anyway, so of course it means kone the rights to his work. And if Yovel comes first, so then Yovel is going to free him, even though he didn't have 6 years. And we also have Pidyon, because we learned out the Pidyon from the Oma Ivriya, as we're going to see. So Bigiraon Kesef, he can prorate the amount of money that he was sold for, and therefore buy himself back with whatever is left. And it doesn't matter if there were changes subsequently in the value of that work. Now, Oma Ivriya. Oh, Oma Ivriya got is one up. She's kona et tatzma b'simanim. The moment that she becomes a nara and she reaches puberty, she goes free. Again, the clarity of the what in the world is puberty and sexual symbols of puberty. I mean, like, what does that have to do? It has everything to do. That's the whole point over here. So the Yitzia, in the sense of the woman, who is the Amma, actually adds the Simanim. Hanirtza, now we have to talk about the other case, and that is where an Eved was Nirtza. So what is Kine, is the Ritzia itself the Kinyan? Yes. He is actually Nikna Beritzia. There's no other Kenyan that's done. This is the only way that he becomes Mishu'ubad until the Yovel. And there's two ways that he could be Kone himself. He can be Kone himself, obviously, by Yovel, because that was the point that the Torah says, Le'olam, and we understand Le'olam, as we'll see, as meaning Yovel, specifically. And what is interesting is that B'mitat Ha'adon, he also goes free in the same way that we had the death being matir Yavama, and we had the death being matir, the case of the Isha that we just finished learning. The din is that the death of the Adain is actually a heter. That's a tremendous chiddush. Again, because of the intimacy. Normally, when somebody owns something and he dies, it's passed on to his heirs, right? Well, not in this case. In the case of a nirtza, it was a specific relationship to the buyer, and he cannot pass on his rights to his other heirs other than a son. A son is considered to be omed b'makom aviv, but any of the other heirs, if there are no sons, do not get any rights to him. Now, it's not clear, gentlemen, is it, whether what we're talking about over here is true of avadim that were sold by Bezdin and avadim that sold themselves, or might there be differences between those two? The Mishnah hasn't clarified what precisely it's referring to. So now let's go through all of the cases. Eved Ivri Nikna B'Kesef. Okay, how do we know that? Well, we know how we know that. If it says in the Torah, Mikesev Miknato, so it says im od rabot bashanim. Lifiyam yashiv geulato mikesev miknato. So this was all said together with the case of an Eved that had sold himself to a ger v'toshav and so on, to an akum. So the idea over there is, apparently, if he's able to prorate what? Prorate the money that was given for miknato. Now, don't make the mistake of thinking that this just means the money that was transferred. No, it's the money of the kinyan. That's the point. Kesef miknato. The kesef was the kinyan, and he buys himself with the money from that kinyan. That teaches us that it was actually nikne b'kesef. All right, but wait a minute. I mean, that pasuk was said about only one out of the five categories of avadim that we had, namely an eved ivri that had been sold to the case of the yasig yad ger v'toshav imach, and a goy had bought the eved. But that's a very good reason why over there it would say kesef miknato, isn't there? And that is that the whole halacha of these other kinyanim does not apply to goyim. All of the kinyanim of an akum, Rashi understands this to be referring to metaltalim. Tosfos says no, it includes even karkaot. The kinyanim of a goy are done with money, not with the other modalities of kinyan. So it makes a heck of a lot of sense that since we're talking about a goy who had bought an Eved Ivri, of course it was done with money. But that's all the whole kinyan b'kesef. How do we know that if someone was nimkar to another Jew, how do we know, I hate that word, to another Yisrael, how do we know that that is also done through kesef? Omar Kra, that we learn from the Oma Ivriya, where over there it says vehevda. The Hevda means, as we saw this past week a few times, that it means that the Odin is involved, because it doesn't say Venivdate from her point of view. It says Vehevda, the Odin was going to do the Yud, and he wasn't Miyada Imloya da Vehevda. What does he do? What do you mean? He's not Poder, he is. He's involved in the Pidyon by actually prorating it. So this teaches us that Migara'at Pidyon Aviyotza. So if the Oma Ivriya can buy herself back with money, it means that there was a Kesev that had bought her in the first place, because otherwise what is she being Migara'at? And therefore it shows that where you were sold to Yisrael, that you also buy yourself back. But wait, make this not be a special din of an Oma Ivriya. Why should it be different? Because she is a woman who is able to end up the wife of the person who bought her. But a wife is always bought with kesef, which we learn out from the kicha kicha. So now we're getting back to this. Maybe that's the reason that she can buy herself back. Because since she could be mekudeshet through money, so she can also be able to buy herself in money. But an Eved Ivri, how do we know that money has any kind of value for buying the Eved as opposed to the Oma? This is one of the most fundamental limudim. The Torah makes a hekesh between the kinyonim of an Oma and the kinyonim of an Eved. Where does it do that? Ki yimacher lecha achicha ha-ivri o ha-ivriya. So it says, if it's sold to you, then they have the same din. Makish ivri le'ivriya. So if an ivriya is able to buy herself back with money, and it means that she was nicknamed with money, then it means that an eved ivri is the same way. Yeah, but wait a minute. That pasuk says ki yimacher lecha. If it's sold to you. What do you mean, if it's sold to you? How is an eved sold to you? An Oma, I understand, can be sold to you by the father. But how do we find a Eved being sold? Well, there's only one possibility. He had stolen money or value, and he didn't have money to pay back, and the Bezdin sold him. Kimachelecha. Oh, now, wait a minute. That's a special halacha. So maybe over there, since the whole mechira is against his own desire, obviously, he's nimkar bal korcho. So if he's nimkar bal korcho, that means that the Torah smooths over the mechanisms of that kinyan because it's unique. And we say, okay, the bezdin has a right to sell him, the bezdin can sell him however they want, they can use money. How do we know that if an eved would sell himself, that he could also be sold with money? I mean, all of the discussions that we've had might be in those terms. How do we know that if he's mocher atzmo? Ah, this too is fundamental throughout our discussion of the kinyanim, of the relationships. Remember, so we have these three basic different situations, plus two additional subdivisions. The basic situations are the mechira by somebody else versus the mechira of himself. The difference between an amma and between the actual eved. And then we had the question of how do we know the idea that this the eved that is sold to someone else who's not the Israel. Well, put it all together. We know that the din of the male and the female that are sold by a bezdin or by father are the same. And we know that the din of someone who was sold by bezdin or someone who sells himself is the same from a very fascinating gezeirah shavah, because the Torah talks about kimishne schar sachir avadcha sheish shanim. You know, this guy has worked for you for so long, you shouldn't feel bad about giving him a lot of money when he leaves. You know, he's done twice the work of a normal schar sachir. Because remember, he's been working for you at night, producing babies that you get to keep because you gave him a shivcha. So he's been doing double duty. So therefore, it uses the word schar sachir. But it uses the same word in Vayikra, where we're talking about someone who had actually sold himself. And it says over there, Kesachir ketoshav yiye imach at shnat hayovel yavod imach. So apparently he's called a sochir. So apparently we put it all together. Yeah, but not everybody believes that, because remember, gezeirah shavah has to be mekubelet from your rebbe, and we know that there are those chachomim who did not darshan that kalvuch, that gezeirah shavah. So how nichalaman diomer diolav sochir sochir? Okay. That's a good explanation if you were mekabel that gezeirah shavah. But what about those who didn't have that gezeirah shavah? Laman de lo yalev socher socher. Ma'ika l'neimar. Ah, okay. I'll tell you how even without, we would still know at the from the pasuk of v'chita sik, right? So now, where it's talking about over there, that was the last of a long list of psukim that we're talking about at the end of Vayikra, different stages of a person who was poor and he sold himself to a friend. And it gets to a point where even if he's nimkar to the church, and each one is connected with a vav. V'chi tasig. So this v'chi tasig means that we view this last piece as a continuation of the previous piece. And the previous piece, that's talking about where we have the dinim of someone who sells himself to another Yisrael, and then we have the case of someone who sells himself to a ger toshav, and then we have somebody who sells himself lo ela nimkar, actually to be working for the avodah zara atzma, which means to be marbitz lefarim, and so on. So therefore, we see it as all a continuation. If it's a continuation, so then the Torah is comparing the dinim of the two. And therefore, the first section, the upper section, which was talking about nimkar or mocher atzmo Yisrael, can be learned from the last piece. And the last piece we proved is through money, except we said, how do we know you can apply that to someone who sells himself to a Jew? Because if you're sold to an akum, then maybe it's only because everything that an akum is kind of with money. But now that we have basically a hekesh utilizing the vav comparing the part before, which was Shmelcher Yisrael, to Nimka Lakum. So you see that any type of Eved is going to be Nikna Al Yedei Kesef. Now, you said that there's a Tana that holds of Sacher Sacher and a Tana that doesn't hold of Sacher Sacher. I'm not sure I know what you're referring to. Where is there a Tana that doesn't hold of Sacher Sacher? Man Tana de lo yalev Sacher Sacher. Oh, I'm going to show you. It's the following Tana, because the Braita actually discusses major differences in halacha between someone who is mocher es atzmo and someone who is nimkar bebesdin. Look at these differences. The Tanya, hamocher atzmo, if somebody sells himself, he can sell himself for whatever period of time he wants to. So if he wants to sell himself for 10 years, he will not be yotze b'sheish. Shahamocher atzmo can be nimkar either l'sheish v'yeter al sheish. If bezdin sells him, it's limited to a sale for 6 years. Furthermore, someone who sells himself, all of this stuff of ahavti es adoni v'tishti, none of that applies. And he is not nirtza. The din of nirtza is only in the case of machruhu beidin, because it's a continuation of the original pasuk of someone who was sold by bezdin for stealing. And there's another tremendous difference. A mocher atzmo, when he leaves your rishus, you are not mechuyev to give him all of these amazing things that we darshan, you have to share with him and take a whole donkey load of stuff. And this guy is going out like, whoa, with a heck of a big tip. So this is tipping min haTorah minayin. No, this is hanaka. Mash'in kein, a mocher bezdin. Yes, there you do the hanaka, but not a mocher atzmo. And this is actually connected, of course, because remember that the tipping was because the guy was doing double work for you. But a mocher atzmo, you actually cannot give him a shivcha k'nanit to do work at night for you. And therefore, that makes sense, therefore, that all of these other things don't follow. Masha Inkein, Machru Beit Din, over there, the fact that the Torah had defined him as an Evet to some extent. So because of that, you can give him a Shifcha Knanit. Was Rabbi Elazar Omer? Absolutely not true. Every type of Evet, whether he's Meicher es Atzmai, whether he's Nimkar Bebezden, Zev Ezeinu Nimkar Lele Sheish, the Din of Sheish applies to both. Zev is a nirtza, at the end of that time, he can say, I don't want to go free. Zev is a ma'anikimo, if they do go free, they get that big tip. And Zev is a rabo moselo shivcha k'nanit, both of them, the Adon has the right to insist that he works for him at night with the shivcha. Now, what do you think the machlokas is between Rabbi Elazar and the Tana Kama? It's very clear to me. If you hold that there's a comparison between the two, where would there be a comparison? Socher, socher, mishnah schar socher avatcha, right? So then that seems to be the machlokas. The Tana Kama says there's no comparisons in the Torah between the mocher at atzmo and the nimkar bebezdin. Therefore, whatever occurs in each one of those parshiot is limited to the parsha in which it occurs. Mashen cannot leave it to Rabbi Elazar. We do learn out sucker, sucker. What are you going to do about that? Omer of Tevyumi Mishmei Dabai, I don't agree. I don't agree at all. It's very possible that in general, both of these shitas agree, including the Tana Kama, that we do darshan sucker, sucker, and these particular situations, the idea of Nimkar L'Sheish, or the idea of Nirtza, or the idea of Hanaka, or the idea of Eved being Mutter from Isha Shivcha Kananit, those are specific psukim that the Tana Kama believes are teaching us not to apply the Gezeirah Shavah to those four cases. And I'll tell you what the real machlokas is. Everybody agrees we do Darshan Socher Socher in general, and only lagabi these things is there a special machlokas. So here, let's start with the mocher atzmo, nimkar l'sheish. The Tana Kama claims that if he sells himself, he can sell himself for whatever term he wants. So 10 years, 20 years, whatever. That's not because of socher socher. It's because the Torah specifically said, in the case of mochru beit din, that there it says, va'avadecha sheish shanim. So that is a miut in which the idea is zeh, v'lo mocher et atzmo. So it's talking about now specifically this person, ve'avadecha sheishanim, ma she'en kein. And that's in the pasuk. Ki yimacher lecha achicha ivri ovriyet in bezdin bashana hashviyit teshachinu chavshi. Him, not anybody else. It's not somebody who sold himself. So why doesn't Reb Elazar see that as a din dafka by nimka? V'idach, v'avadecha. That is not coming to tell me this din of the term. It's to say that he only works for you, and that he does not work for a yoresh. This yoresh, we'll see later, does not include the sons, where a son is eimed b'makom aviv. It means any other yoresh if there were no sons. So we need that pasuk in the Tanakhama. He says, but it says more than once, va'avadecha. Va'avadecha achrina. It says also in the pasuk afterwards, so a few psukim after that, it says, "Lo yiksha be'einecha, ki b'shnei schar sachir avadecha." So that too is specific, right? So, okay, what does Reb Elazar do with that? No, he says that's coming to tell me, "Ahu lar tzaat adon hu diata." That is talking about the case, which is a continuation of the "Lo yiksha be'einecha b'shalecha chaoto chavshi mihim yach." And so on. That's where we had the other sochir. So therefore, he says that the avadecha is part of hartzaat adon. This is an amazing chiddush of Reb Elazar. Reb Elazar is saying, to whom is that pasuk talking? That pasuk is talking to the one who needs to give the tip. And therefore, the Torah is saying, what's your big deal about giving the guy a tip? What's wrong with you? Look what he's been doing for you. He's been working double time for you. You don't think he deserves a tip? Okay, so if you've got a cold litvax approach to the pasuk, it's halacha. But if you hear the Torah speaking to your heart, so the Torah is speaking to your heart. Hey, man, give that guy a tip. Be a mensch. What, you're going to use that discussion to you as like a law that it's telling you? And this is only the avadcha? No, it's talking to your heart and your psychology. You can't use that for something else. That's what it's coming for. Brilliant, right? There's a totally different approach that Reb Elazar here has here about, okay, what do we hear when we hear a pasuk? So therefore, it's not coming to teach me a din. It's coming to teach me to be a mensch. Fine. Okay, so that was Nogea. This machlokas of Sheishanim, I think we'll have to wait for tomorrow to see the specific psukim in the other cases, and we'll be zocha to sit at the edge of our seats. Meanwhile, my apologies again for those who will need to go and visit Kupat Cholim just because of the bet sores and so on. But hopefully, we'll manage to get there quick. Okay, Bezrat Hashem, we should be zocha to see you tomorrow and to continue to learn together. What a wonderful dream. God to everyone. Have a great day with Besirot Tovot, Yeshuot, and Nechamot.